You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News, and today, jam-packed show. First, we're going to look at the Hornets a little bit because the Pacers take them on again tonight. They just played Wednesday, but we'll look at some things the Pacers can do better and try to secure a nice 2-0 miniseries over Charlotte. You know, they won, but it wasn't a perfect game. Then, the big news from the NBA this week, All-Star voting began yesterday, so we're going to run through the East, figure out how many Pacers can be All-Stars and how many should be All-Stars and what the situation is going on there. That's always really fun and interesting, and it helps me kind of materialize how tough or how easy it is for Pacers to make it this year. And then last segment, the G League bubble begins in just a few days. The Pacers made a few roster moves to accommodate for that, and I want to discuss the G League, how that's all going to work out, what that's going to look like, and how it'll affect the Pacers. So let's just jump right into the Hornets. But first, a quick little note. Tegna has acquired the Locked On Podcast Network. So what does that mean for you, the listener? Absolutely nothing. The show will not change at all. It's not going to relocate. You will still be able to listen to it for free. The same way you always listen to podcasts, it could mean a better experience down the line. The show could grow and be better. But right now, in the short term, it means absolutely nothing for you. So if you saw that news, don't worry about it. Just keep listening and enjoying. Anyway, Pacers Hornets tonight. So they won 116-106 on Wednesday. Didn't even look like, you know, I guess to say it didn't look like a tough game would be incorrect. You know, they were losing in the third quarter, and the second and third quarters were actually, maybe rough is the wrong word, right? The second quarter was a little rough. They tied the Hornets in the third quarter. Second quarter was a little rough right at the start when they had the full bench unit in. They really rode that because they had such a big lead after the first quarter. At least that's why I thought Bjorken did. He played Goga for a really long time there. He played Aaron Holiday for a pretty long time there because they were up 17 after one. So I would, you know, that'll be closer next time if they go on a big run. But anyway, mostly they were ahead the whole game. Performance didn't look like they were the inferior team much. But there were some moments that were interesting to me. So the first quarter, when the Pacers took off, basically their run started the second Cody Zeller subbed out of the game. Bismack Biyombo subbed in, and the Pacers just dominated. Zeller's not, like, fast or super skilled with the ball or anything, but dude's just in the right place a lot, set solid screens, right? He's just, like, kind of there and useful and in the way. And that's good for a team like the Hornets that really swing the ball and pass it a lot, right? Like we talked about, they lead the league in total assists, or they lead the league in assists this season. They had 28 against the Pacers on Wednesday. They also lead the league in assists allowed, and the Pacers had 34. But they had 28 assists. They're really good at passing, so his screens really open stuff up for them, and him being in the right spot makes defenses honest. And he also had 5 offensive rebounds. He almost had half of the Hornets' offensive rebounds. So he actually is a solid player, but something the Pacers can do to easily, you know, catch up in those Cody Zeller minutes. In his 29 minutes, the Hornets outscored the Pacers by 8 points, right? They got to do a little bit better with their pick-and-roll coverages with Zeller in the game. A lot of that's that Graham is a pretty good creator off the dribble. He was not awesome in this game, but he was pretty good. So was Hayward, right? So just, they got to be better with that. They keep squeezing guys in from the elbow to try to shrink the court, kind of like the Raptors have done for years, which is going to leave shooters open on the weak side. That's a little risky, but it's better than letting Gordon Hayward get into his mid-range spots, which that clearly worked in the first game and stuff like that. But just a little bit tighter coverage. I think mostly the guy who has to do it is the strong side guy coming in to help the action just a tiny bit can help slow down the Zeller actions. But keep him off the offensive glass. That's the other one. That's a little bit on Turner there. He didn't play that much, and some of the overlap with Zeller and Goga, which wasn't very much. Maybe like 4 minutes the whole game. But, you know, those two guys, for being centers, you know, we've talked about it. They're worse rebounders than Sabonis. They've got to be better on Zeller to mitigate those minutes because they destroyed them in the Bismack Biyombo minutes. Biyombo played 9 minutes, was minus 15, and only had one rebound in 9 minutes, right? So they had a few minutes with, like, P.J. Washington at center. Those were fine. You know, stuff like that. So the Pacers have got to do better in the Zeller minutes and then keep doing the same things on Hayward. They did a good job defending him, forcing him to take tough pull-ups from mid-range, not letting him get to the rim, all those kind of things. I thought their defense on him was fantastic. And really, the Hornets bench in general, which featured a lot of young guys, Miles Bridges, LaMelo Ball, Malik Monk, not a good group that keep doing what they were doing against those guys because
Those guys were really struggling to score. That trio I just named was a combined 8 of 19, and their defense was atrocious, especially Bridges. So just keep making life tough for Hayward and the bench guys, and baskets will come easy in transition and stuff like that. But really, the Hornets, the thing that makes them an easy matchup for the Pacers is they don't have any one-on-one matchup that is scary, right? And I kind of saw it manifested the way I thought when I just described it to Adam earlier in the week. Like, the Pacers have struggled with forwards who have power. And for some reason, you know, Hayward's a really good scoring forward, but I don't think of him as being that power guy who would give the Pacers fits. And we kind of saw that in this first game. He played over 40 minutes, but he wasn't really able to get to his spots super well, even with good screens from Zeller, even with decent setup from some of his guards, because he doesn't, you know, he's not strong enough to like muscle Justin Holiday off in the way that some other guys are, like Julius Randle, or he's not like fast enough like, or smooth enough like PG and Kawhi were for the Clippers, or like Tatum can get to his spot and make tough shots from anywhere. Like, he doesn't have quite the power or skill that some of the guys he's really good, and we'll talk about him momentarily in the All-Star debate section, but he doesn't have quite the perfect combo of skills to be, despite being so good, to be the perfect threat against this Pacers team. You know, we've seen him be really good against them in the past, but in the way that big forwards kill them, Hayward is not that guy. And outside of him, they don't have anyone who's so awesome that it's a scary matchup for the Pacers. So stick to your defensive schemes, play good pick-and-roll defense, and continue to just womp on the Hornets bench. And they should win again, even if they don't clean up the rebounding with Zeller. I mean, they still won the rebounding battle, mostly because they made more shots. But anyway, if they clean up all that stuff, should be another easy win. I think they'll win. And speaking of winning and how much they'll win by, if you go to betonline.ag, the Pacers are currently favored by 3 points on the over-under in this game, 220. So they're predicting a little lower scoring action. I don't know about that. We'll see. But you should go check out betonline.ag. They've got all the big matchups for basketball, for football with the one game left, but still college basketball in full swing. Even MLB coming up in like a month and a half, which is pretty crazy. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust to get in on all the betting action. Betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account. Use the promo code Locked On. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Again, they have every sport you could want. College basketball, NBA, it just rattled off. The Pacers wants all the top headlines in sports. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in on the action and use that promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Everyone's favorite thing, All-Star voting. I hate the constant updates and the constant discussion over who's better and who's not. Well, I kind of like the discussion. One time, I like to think about it, and when something really evolves, you know, if someone becomes way better or way worse, like, yeah, but most of the time, it's just the same information disseminated a few days later, and it drives me crazy. But let's get into it one time so we can get a baseline for this potentially evolving discussion. NBA All-Star Weekend is just over a month away, and All-Star voting began yesterday on Twitter, on NBA.com, wherever you can vote. Google, I think, is another place you can vote. But anyway, Eastern Conference is a tougher race this year than it was last year because, you know, Durant came into this conference and is healthy now. Beal's better than last year. Trae Young's better than last year. Jaylen Brown's better than last year. James Harden's in the conference now. Zach LaVine's better than last year. Jeremy Grant is in the conference now. I can't even believe he's in this discussion. The list goes on and on. It's a tough field to name 12 guys for All-Stars. So really, I'm pushing it saying three, but the Pacers probably have three guys you could make a case for, and it's more likely two. Although, you know, let's talk about Turner first. So I have a list of every guy who could conceivably be an All-Star in the East. He's literally the last guy I have listed. No, with absolutely no offense to Miles Turner. I have 10. I'm counting in right now. Oh, no, I just highlighted something that's not actually a player. 9 plus 7 plus 6. That is who's better at math. 22 guys. He's the last one I have listed. So he's probably not going to make it, right? And defense is getting Rudy Gobert in every year. And Gobert, again, is a good offensive player, great pick and roll guy. Well, we all get it. He's getting in because he's the best defender in the NBA. So the defense has gotten guys in before, but it's really hard. And Turner is a good offensive player, but being the third best player on his own team probably is just going to keep him out of discussions unless the Pacers are heavily first in the Eastern Conference by the time voting is complete, which isn't impossible, but I have him last on my list. But anyway, Sabonis and Brogdon are the two guys I'm going to heavily look at today for consideration. So I loved the debates on this, but anyway, 12 All-Stars in the East. Let me know where you think I've gone wrong on Twitter as I do this, at TEastNBA. First up, I have 6 locks. These guys, guaranteed All-Stars. They could probably get hurt tomorrow and still make it, you know, a la Oladipo in 18-19. Giannis, even on a down year, lock in for sure. Bradley Beal, who wasn't even an all-star last year. He's averaging, I think, 35 or 36 points per game. That leads the league. He's been ridiculous on offense. The Wizards absolutely suck. I don't care. Beal's a lock for me. Kevin Durant, maybe MVP level candidate, just killing it for the Nets. Joel Embiid, same thing, MVP candidate, killing it for the first in the conference 76ers. Jason Tatum, best player on a very good Celtics team, one of the best players in the league. He's probably an All-NBA candidate at this point. And maybe a little controversial, but my last lock, Trae Young. Trae Young, absolutely ridiculous this year. He was a starter last year for a reason. Starting, it doesn't matter. Fan vote doesn't matter, guys. Like, they usually pick the five best guys. It's going to be okay. But Trae Young, currently averaging 26 and 9 on ridiculous shooting splits and true shooting, as usual. So yeah, he's a lock for me as well. So those are my six locks. So that's half the All-Star team, right? Like, the All-Star team's not that big. Then I have a probably tier. These three guys are probably going to be All-Stars. One of these guys should be a lock, but James Harden's an interesting case, right? He got traded and kind of threw a pouty fit on the way out of Houston, right? And the same Jimmy Butler did that with the Timberwolves and was not an All-Star the year he did it. So I wonder if that will play into voters' minds, you know, maybe not rewarding that. But James Harden is leading the league in assists and averaging 24.5 points per game, and the Nets are looking pretty good with him there. So, yeah, he's a lock, or most likely a lock, but I have him in the probably for the Jimmy Butler reason. Another guy who I have in the probably tier who has exploded this year, Jaylen Brown. Very few people know that Jaylen Brown is averaging 27 points per game. He's been the hottest man in the NBA over the last few weeks. Just absolutely ridiculous. Hitting 44% of his threes, well over his old career high. Jaylen Brown is almost certainly going to be an All-Star. He's been really good. My last probably is probably my most controversial guy of my top nine, but he was an All-Star last year, and he's also been killing it this year, Bam Adebayo. Bam is up to 20 points a game. Bam is hitting jumpers from about 15, 18 feet and in, basically, and he's still shooting at a better percent than last year. He's hit half of his very few threes, but still half his threes this year, still averaging 9 boards and 5.5 assists per game. He has also been ridiculous. So those nine guys, Giannis, Beal, Durant, Embiid, Tatum, and Trae Young are my six locks. And then Harden, Jaylen Brown, and Bam are my three, almost certainly going to be in. If they got hurt right now, they probably would not make it, any of those three. But the first six, I think, for well. So now we have three more spots. There's only 12 guys on this team. And my maybe tier, I have a tier here that says three more maybe spots. And I have a line of demarcation in this tier of guys that have a much better shot than the other three. Chris Middleton, and he honestly could move up a tier. For those who don't know about Chris Middleton this season, who for some reason I accidentally searched for Bam on when I was looking up Bam's stats. I did it on Chris Middleton's B-Bar page that I had open. Okay, Chris Middleton, 22 points a game, career high, shooting currently 52-44-93 splits, career high in rebounds, and six assists, also career high. He was an All-Star last year. He's probably going to be an All-Star again this year. He's been really good. Brogdon's in this maybe tier. As you all know who listen, I think he's been the best pacer. 23-7 on, for him, it's 46-41-91 splits. Insane. Awesome defense. Awesome in the clutch. He's got a great shot. He's in this maybe tier. Who you're going to see tonight, Gordon Hayward, I have in this tier. Despite his lackluster first performance against the Pacers, he is still averaging 24 points per game, which is ridiculous, and has him here. And the last guy I have before the line is Sabonis. Of course, we all know how he's doing with the triple-doubles this season. He's had a double-double every game. He hasn't been injured mid-game in. He's averaging 20-12 and 6 assists on also great shooting splits as he's hitting the threes now. The free throws are dragging down me reading off the splits. But you all know who listen how good Sabonis has been this season. So of those four guys, Middleton, Brogdon, Hayward, Sabonis, that is my four guys in the three maybe spots who are in the top of this maybe tier. So it's very possible that both Brogdon and Sabonis get it. I think Brogdon is above Sabonis for me, and I think it would be Middleton, Brogdon, Hayward of that group, although I would totally understand if Sabonis gets it over Hayward. I'm not saying the difference between them is big or anything like that. Sabonis could outplay, if Sabonis outplays him again tomorrow, I'll put Sabonis over Hayward. There you go. But they're literally neck and neck for that last spot. It's quite the battle. And maybe those guys can catch Bam in the probably tier, but he's been ridiculous, and everybody I think above Bam on my list so far is going to get it for sure. And then right out, breathing down the neck of the Hayward, Sabonis, Brogdon, Middleton guys, I have a line, but I still have this as the same tier. One is Jeremy Grant. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the Pistons at all. I understand if you haven't. Jeremy Grant is averaging 24.5 points and 6.3 rebounds per game on 45-40-87 splits. Dude is going crazy for the Pistons. They just beat the Lakers about 30 minutes before me starting recording this show. He has been absolutely ridiculous. In this win over LeBron's team, Jeremy Grant had 14-6-3. So not his best night. Blake Griffin finally stepping up for this Pistons team. But Grant's had a ridiculous season so far, and he belongs in this maybe tier for that reason. 24 points a game doesn't just happen. And speaking of points not just happening, let's go to the next guy. Probably the best guy who wasn't an All-Star last year, Zach LaVine. He's up to 27 points a game this year as well. He's probably got a better shot than I'm giving him credit for. He's pairing it with more assists than he's ever had in his career and more rebounds. If the Bulls were ever actually good or interesting, I think he'd be getting a lot more attention here. He's at 50, 39.7, and 87.6. I mean, nearly 50, 40, 90 guy on 27 points a game. I think LaVine deserves a little more credit than I'm giving him. I'm putting him above Jeremy Grant as you were listening. So he's probably the guy breathing down the neck of the Sabonis, Hayward, Brogdon, Middleton group the most. And the last guy in this maybe tier for me is Julius Randle. I can't believe I just said that out loud. Julius Randle, fringe all-star candidate this year. 22.5 points and 11.3 rebounds plus 6 assists. Crazy for Julius Randle. He's doing it efficiently as well. He's been really good. He's been playing defense. He deserves a lot of all-star consideration. So of those guys, Middleton, Brogdon, Hayward, Sabonis, LaVine, Jeremy Grant, and Julius Randle, only three of them can make it, given my first nine guys. Now, maybe someone will kick Bam out. I think you guys need to watch the Heat. He's been ridiculous. I mean, I know their record sucks because Jimmy Butler's missed a ton of time, but man, has Bam been good. So that's tough. Middleton, Brogdon, Hayward, Sabonis, LaVine, Grant, Randle, pick three. And that doesn't even count. Let me read. I have a group called the Could Get In Group, who is not in my all-star tiers right now but could make it. Kyrie, right? He probably won't because he missed a ton of games, but he's ridiculous when he does play. Drummond's stats are always insane, and he's actually playing good defense now. And you know, he leads the league in rebounds again, right? Like, he's obviously good. So he's always got a shot. Ben Simmons is coming out of his slump finally. He's been an all-star, I think, 2 years in a row, maybe three. He's always a threat to get there. His scoring is down. His assists are plateauing. I think as Joel Embiid gets the ball more, his numbers will drop. But he's always got a shot. His defense is great. Colin Sexton deserves a mention. You know, he's been really good this year. Had that ridiculous game to beat the Nets. He's averaging 25 points a game, but you know, he doesn't really pair with any other stats. Miles Turner, I have right here. You already heard me talk about him. And the last one, Nikola Vucevic from the Orlando Magic. His case was a lot better earlier in the season. He's still averaging 24-11, though. He deserves a big mention here. He's been very good and could get in. Wow, that was the longest segment ever. I just went for like 11 minutes naming all the guys who could be All-Stars in the East. But in my, you know, I have nine guys who I think are almost certainly going to get it. And that leaves three spots for the Pacers to chase. And with Middleton and Hayward and LaVine and Kyrie, all these guys having good seasons, it's going to be hard. It's going to be really tough. I think the Pacers can get two, and if they have a top three or four seed come All-Star time, it's very possible they get two. If one of these guys gets hurt, you know, they'll certainly float above that. You never wish that on anybody, but you know, that could help them. So we will see is my answer to the All-Star question as of now. But if you made me pick, I think that what will happen is hopefully it doesn't become one of those split situations where they take votes from each other, but I would guess that the Pacers just get one guy in between Brogdon and Sabonis, and given that he was an All-Star last year, I would say that Sabonis is more likely, even though I personally would have Brogdon above him so far. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting to track all that. Anyway, that was a lot of words. Yell at me if you think my rankings or ordering is stupid, because it's fun to yell at me on the internet, and I will respond. I like to respond to people on Twitter and talk about this stuff. Okay, let's move on. One more thing to talk about that's way less exciting to you guys, but equally exciting to me, the G League. The Mad Ants kick off their season, I believe, in about 12 days from now, Wednesday, February, I don't know the exact number, I should, the 10th against the Westchester Knicks. So let's talk about the G League and the Pacers sending some guys down, including Cassius Stanley. But first, got to talk to you guys about Built Bar, because Built Bar is making the best tasting protein bars ever, or as Nate Duncan says, protein bars that don't taste like the inside of a sawmill. They have 18 awesome flavors, and each one of them is 100% covered in chocolate and soft and easy to chew. I really, really love them. I still continuously buy them myself and hear great things from people who buy them and tell me they have tried them. They're great for the health conscious guy because, you know, high protein, but low calorie, low sugar, low carbs. They're, again, really great for your health, and they're delicious. They're good for a keto diet as well, but if they weren't good, they wouldn't sell, and they are really good, and you know, everybody who's tried them loves them. Go check them out yourself at builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. I don't know what you were doing on Wednesday when the Pacers were playing the Hornets, but that day they also announced that Jalen Lecque is getting transferred to the Mad Ants. Jalen Lecque on a guaranteed minimum contract for the Pacers this year. They traded TJ Leaf in a second-round pick for him to get under the tax. That makes a lot of sense, but in the same press release, they also said they transferred two-way players Brian Bowen II and Cassius Stanley to the Mad Ants. So what does that mean for you, the Pacers fan? Well, one, Cassius has done some okay stuff when he has gotten on the floor this year for the Pacers. But I think that them making this – so let's start with Cassius because he's the headliner here. Them transferring him down I think makes sense because – even though he's snuck in the rotation, he's looked okay. He's not like he's a little bit better than Keelan Martin, I would say, right now. But he's not so much better that I think it makes sense for the Pacers to keep him over Martin right now. Because in the G League, Cassius is going to get all the touches and reps he can handle, right? It'll be a great way. And there's some more NBA vets. Lance Stephenson not on a G League team, by the way. But there's more NBA vets in the G League this year than in years past. Just because guys are using it as a front to get back into the league. And it's easier to get a call-up if you're already in the G League and stuff like that. I've heard, I can't confirm this, but I've talked to some people who would maybe know that there is a short quarantine period for 2A guys who move up and down via their G League team, but it's not so long that it's going to be like debilitating or impossible to know when you need them, if that makes sense. So because they're in a bubble anyway, they'll have to be tested every day. When they come out, they'll still be tested every day. I think that that transfer process and quarantine won't be super long. Anywho, Cassius getting the reps, I think, has a lot of value and more value than just having him play 2 minutes a game instead of Keelan Martin play 2 minutes a game or whatever. So from the Pacers side, I think that, you know, if they ever expand their rotation to 12 or whatever like they have a few times this season, Keelan Martin will just steal the minutes that Cassius was getting recently. I think he got in against the Raptors and he got in a game the week before. I can't remember. He played against the Warriors. I remember he almost threw down a crazy dunk. So he's been getting in a few times. But I'm all about this for him. I think it's a great development opportunity. You know, I think he needs a little more playmaking responsibility. The Pacers can explore that more when he's with the Mad Ants, right? All he's basically done is shoot threes and go for dunks outside of garbage time. So this will be a good opportunity for him. I think this makes sense to me right now. If Keelan continues to stink it up, and here's an – I'll get to the other factor with Keelan in a second. They can just transfer Stanley back up and give him the minutes. I guess I'll just do the Keelan thing now. So Keelan's contract is partially guaranteed. And the amount of – they pay him every day on it, basically. On a minimum contract, you get paid on a daily prorated basis. And the amount of his contract that's guaranteed, the daily proration reaches that. This is all too complicated. But on February 24th, I believe. So Keelan basically has until that day to prove he's worth more than the guaranteed amount on his contract. And if not, they'll cut him for cap savings. So – by letting Stanley go down, not only can they let Stanley get all these reps in the G League, they can also evaluate Keelan Martin a little more and see if he's worth keeping the rest of the season because they could waive him and then just transfer Stanley's contract to a full deal and then just keep him on the Pacers that way. I think that actually is some smart business. We'll see if that ends up happening or not. And given the Pacers, you know, tax situation, I actually think that might happen. That's just a hunch, but I think that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, this is good for Stanley. It's a good opportunity for Keelan Martin to... he had a promising preseason, hasn't really shown anything this season. So the transfer of Stanley to the G League helps the Pacers by letting them evaluate Martin and helps the Pacers by letting Stanley get reps and helps Stanley by letting him get reps. Anyway, there's two other guys in this press release that deserve mention. Brian Bowen going down to the Mad Ants again. He was good for them last year. It showed in the bubble when he got some minutes that he improved over the course of the season. This is another opportunity for him to do that. They clearly like him some as a prospect. They brought him back for a second to a contract. We'll see what he can prove with this G League squad. And the rest, rounding out that starting backcourt for the Mad Ants, most likely, Jalen Lecque got transferred down. The actual transfer of a pro for Lecque. He played for the Naz Suns a lot in the G League last year. I don't remember his exact stats, but same kind of deal with the other two guys. He's just not playing with the pros at all. It makes all the sense in the world to send him down to the G League, let him get actual legitimate playmaking reps and not just like dunk contest and no one's trying garbage time minutes. So I'm all for this. I think this is going to be a good fit for all these guys. It makes sense to have them there instead of up with the Pacers just to only play garbage time. And if the quarantine period is truly as short as has been described to me, I don't want to put an exact days on it because I don't think anyone who I've asked has done that for me. But if it's truly short, then I think it's fine to send these guys down. If there is an injury risk or your team is dealing with COVID and you need players to reach the minimum, if it's not so long of a quarantine period, you can just call them up, play the games, no problem. And, you know, between Sumner, Sumner and I forget the other two guys who didn't play against the Hornets. I should know this. Jakar was one of them, and there's a third one, and I can't believe I'm forgetting as I'm pulling up the box score. But they have guys who can still, you know, be the – oh, Keelan, duh. They have those three guys. So Keelan Martin, Jakar Sampson, Edmund Sumner, those three guys didn't play against the Hornets. They're not even in the nine-man rotation. So if there are injuries, they have a guy, a forward slash big and a wing and a guard who could step in and play to fill that time. So G League coming soon. I'll cover all that for you guys here too. I love watching the Mad Ants play and watching the young Pacers develop. And I think it behooves everybody to do the moves they've made to send LeCue, Bowen, and Stanley down. That's why they did it. So you got all the news now, the All-Star news, the G League news, and how the Pacers can beat the Hornets. And I've been talking for a very long time consecutively. So I'm going to get you guys out of here, let you enjoy your weekend, and hopefully enjoy Pacers-Hornets tonight. Please leave a rating and a review on iTunes. I want to know what you guys think of the show. Follow the show on Twitter, at LockedOnPacers. We'll be back Monday to break down the weekend, so this Friday game plus the Sixers game Sunday. Thank you guys for listening, and have a great weekend.